It was not much bigger than a good-sized clothes cupboard, and there was one small window in the back wall with a sink under the window, but there were no taps over the sink. Against another wall there was a shelf, presumably for preparing food, and there was a single cupboard above the shelf. On the shelf itself there stood a primus stove, a saucepan, and a half-full bottle of milk. A primus is a little camping stove that you fill with paraffin, and you light it at the top, and then you pump it to get pressure for the flame.
"You can get some water while I light the primus," Miss Honey said. "The well is out at the back. Take the bucket, here it is. You'll find a rope in the well. Just hook the bucket onto the end of the rope and lower it down, but don't fall in yourself."
Matilda, more bemused than ever now, took the bucket and carried it out into the back garden. The well had a little wooden roof over it and a simple winding device, and there was the rope dangling down into the dark, bottomless hole. Matilda pulled up the rope and hooked the handle of the bucket onto the end of it. Then she lowered it until she heard a splash and the rope went slack. She pulled it up again, and lo and behold, there was water in the bucket.
"Is this enough?" she asked, carrying it in. "Just about," Miss Honey said. "I don't suppose you've ever done that before."
"Never," Matilda said. "It's fun. How do you get enough water for your bath?"
"I don't take a bath," Miss Honey said. "I wash standing up. I get a bucket full of water and I heat it on this little stove and I strip and wash myself all over."
"Do you honestly do that?" Matilda asked.
"Of course I do," Miss Honey said. "Every poor person in England used to wash that way until not so very long ago. And they didn't have a primus. They had to heat the water over a fire in the hearth."
"Are you poor, Miss Honey?"
"Yes," Miss Honey said.
"Very.
It's a good little stove, isn't it?"
The primus was roaring away with a powerful blue flame, and already the water in the saucepan was beginning to bubble. Miss Honey got a teapot from the cupboard and put some tea leaves into it. She also found half a small loaf of brown bread. She cut two thin slices and then, from a plastic container, she took some margarine and spread it on the bread.
"Margarine," Matilda thought. "She really must be poor."
Miss Honey found a tray, and on it she put two mugs, the teapot, the half bottle of milk, and a plate with the two slices of bread.
"I'm afraid I don't have any sugar," she said. "I never use it."
"That's all right," Matilda said.
In her wisdom, she seemed to be aware of the delicacy of the situation, and she was taking great care not to say anything to embarrass her companion.
"Let's have it in the sitting room," Miss Honey said, picking up the tray and leading the way out of the kitchen and down the dark little tunnel into the room at the front.
Matilda followed her, but just inside the doorway of the so-called sitting room, she stopped and stared around her in absolute amazement. The room was as small and square and bare as a prison cell. The pale daylight that entered came from a single tiny window in the front wall, but there were no curtains. The only objects in the entire room were two upturned wooden boxes to serve as chairs and a third box between them for a table. That was all. There were no pictures on the walls, no carpet on the floor, only rough, unpolished wooden planks. And there were gaps between the planks where dust and bits of grime had gathered. The ceiling was so low that with a jump Matilda could nearly touch it with her fingertips. The walls were white, but the whiteness didn't look like paint. Matilda rubbed her palm against it, and a white powder came off onto her skin. It was whitewash, the cheap stuff that is used in cowsheds and stables and hen houses. Matilda was appalled. Was this really where her neat and trimly dressed schoolteacher lived? Was this all she had to come back to after a day's work? It was unbelievable. And what was the reason for it? There was something very strange going on around here, surely. Miss Honey put the tray on one of the upturned boxes.
"Sit down, my dear, sit down," she said, "and we'll have a nice hot cup of tea. Help yourself to bread. Both slices are for you. I never eat anything when I get home. I have a good old tuck-in at the school lunch and that keeps me going until the next morning."
Matilda perched herself carefully on an upturned box, and more out of politeness than anything else, she took a slice of bread and margarine and started to eat it. At home, she would have been having buttered toast and strawberry jam and probably a piece of sponge cake to round it off. And yet this was somehow far more fun. There was a mystery here in this house, a great mystery, there was no doubt about that, and Matilda was longing to find out what it was. Miss Honey poured the tea and added a little milk to both cups. She appeared to be not in the least ill at ease sitting on an upturned box in a bare room and drinking tea out of a mug that she balanced on her knee.
"You know," she said, "I've been thinking very hard about what you did with that glass. It is a great power you have been given, my child. You know that."
"Yes, Miss Honey, I do," Matilda said, chewing her bread and margarine.
"So far as I know," Miss Honey went on, "nobody else in the history of the world has been able to compel an object to move without touching it or blowing on it or using any outside help at all."
Matilda nodded but said nothing.
"The fascinating thing," Miss Honey said, "would be to find out the real limit of this power of yours. Oh, I know you think you can move just about anything there is, but I have my doubts about that."
"I'd love to try something really huge," Matilda said.
"What about distance?" Miss Honey asked. "Would you always have to be close to the thing you were pushing?"
"I simply don't know," Matilda said, "but it would be fun to find out."
Miss Honey's story.
"We mustn't hurry this," Miss Honey said. "So, let's have another cup of tea. And do eat that other slice of bread. You must be hungry."
Matilda took the second slice and started eating it slowly. The margarine wasn't at all bad. She doubted whether she could have told the difference if she hadn't known.
"Miss Honey," she said suddenly, "do they pay you very badly at our school?"
Miss Honey looked up sharply.
"Not too badly," she said. "I get about the same as the others. But it must still be very little if you are so dreadfully poor," Matilda said. "Do all the teachers live like this, with no furniture and no kitchen stove and no bathroom?"
"No, they don't," Miss Honey said rather stiffly. "I just happen to be the exception." "I expect you just happen to like living in a very simple way," Matilda said, probing a little further. "It must make house cleaning an awful lot easier, and you don't have furniture to polish or any of those silly little ornaments lying around that have to be dusted every day. And I suppose if you don't have a fridge, you don't have to go out and buy all sorts of junky things like eggs and mayonnaise and ice cream to fill it up with. It must save a terrific lot of shopping."
At this point, Matilda noticed that Miss Honey's face had gone all tight and peculiar looking. Her whole body had become rigid. Her shoulders were hunched up high and her lips were pressed together tight. And she sat there gripping her mug of tea in both hands and staring down into it, as though searching for a way to answer these not quite so innocent questions. There followed a rather long and embarrassing silence. In the space of 30 seconds, the atmosphere in the tiny room had changed completely, and now it was vibrating with awkwardness and secrets. Matilda said,
"I am very sorry I asked you those questions, Miss Honey. It is not any of my business."
At this, Miss Honey seemed to rouse herself. She gave a shake of her shoulders and then very carefully she placed her mug on the tray.
"Why shouldn't you ask?" she said. "You were bound to ask in the end. You are much too bright not to have wondered. Perhaps I even wanted you to ask. Maybe that's why I invited you here after all. As a matter of fact, you are the first visitor to come to the cottage since I moved in 2 years ago.
Matilda said nothing. She could feel the tension growing and growing in the room.
"You are so much wiser than your years, my dear," Miss Honey went on, "that it quite staggers me. Although you look like a child, You are not really a child at all, because your mind and your powers of reasoning seem to be fully grown up. So I suppose we might call you a grown-up child, if you see what I mean. Matilda still did not say anything. She was waiting for what was coming next. Up to now, Miss Honey went on, I've found it impossible to talk to anyone about my problems. I couldn't face the embarrassment, and anyway, I lack the courage. Any courage I had was knocked out of me when I was young. But now, all of a sudden, I have a sort of desperate wish to tell everything to somebody. I know you're only a tiny little girl, but there is some kind of magic in you somewhere. I've seen it with my own eyes. Matilda became very alert. The voice she was hearing was surely crying out for help. It must be. It had to be. Then the voice spoke again. Have some more tea, it said. I think there's still a drop left. Matilda nodded. Miss Honey poured tea into both mugs and added milk. Again, she cupped her own mug in both hands and sat there sipping. There was quite a long silence before she said, May I tell you a story?
Of course, Matilda said.
I am 23 years old, Miss Honey said, and when I was born, my father was a doctor in this village. We had a nice old house, quite large, red brick. It's tucked away in the woods behind the hills. I don't think you'd know it. Matilda kept silent. I was born there, Miss Honey said. And then came the first tragedy. My mother died when I was two. My father, a busy doctor, had to have someone to run the house and to look after me. So he invited my mother's unmarried sister, my aunt, to come and live with us. She agreed, and she came. Matilda was listening intently.
How old was the aunt when she moved in? She asked.
Not very old, Miss Honey said. I should say about 30. But I hated her right from the start. I missed my mother terribly, and the aunt was not a kind person. My father didn't know that because he was hardly ever around, but when he did put in an appearance, the aunt behaved differently. Miss Honey paused and sipped her tea.
I can't think why I am telling you all this, she said, embarrassed. Go on, Matilda said. Please.
Well, Miss Honey said, then came the second tragedy. When I was 5,